Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Ash Wednesday service. We weren't going to live stream, but Clayton strong-armed me and roughed me up in the hall a little bit, and so we're going to do it now. You didn't really do that, Clayton, in case you're forgetting, you know, that happened. I know it's been a long day for you and everything. But no, we actually weren't going to do live stream. But Clayton had asked me, and I thought, you know, what the heck, right? So for all of you at home, welcome. Thank you for joining us. We will begin with the greeting. And for those of you at home, there is a lot of responsive reading. So just listen and enjoy and meditate. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare for this most holy time of the Lenten season leading up to the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord, may we not see this time as a time of loss, but rather as a time of preparation for something greater. Help us, Lord, during this Lenten season, whether we've decided to give something up for Lent, add something for Lent, do a little of both, or do neither. Whatever we have decided, may we every day decide to follow you to the best of our ability with your help. We pray all these things in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn. Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. For those of you at home who might have a hymnal, it's number 351. And we're going to sing all four verses. First and last. Okay, first and last verses. You may be seated. At this time, I will read from our Old Testament and New Testament scripture lessons, and you may be seated during this. When we get to the Gospels, I will ask you to stand, but for the Old Testament and New Testament lessons, you may sit. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, and then verses 12 through 17. Joel writes, "Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains. A large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Even now, declares the heart, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the portico and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?" And then over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20b through chapter 6:10. "We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything." As you're able to, please stand for our next hymn, number 354, "I Surrender All." And which verses are we going to sing, Clayton? First and last of this one as well. 354. Please remain standing for the reading of the gospel as you are able to. Our gospel reading is from the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6 and verses 16 through 21. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And moving to verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. So it's the season of Lent. That's spelled with an E, not with an I. And so, what is the season of Lent? Well, you know, early in the church, when the church was just kind of getting started, the first few 100 years or so, they had to make sure that the people that they were inviting into communion, into Holy Communion, were actually committed to being Christians. And so it was a year-long process from the time that you professed faith to the time that you were baptized. It could have even been longer because they only baptized on Easter Sunday. So if you were like, well, you know, it's Good Friday, I'm going to profess my faith, well, guess what? You get to wait all the way. You don't get... A get out of free jail free card. You have to wait the whole time. And again, this was done because there was heavy persecution, and they wanted to make sure that they could have people that were trustworthy. But it was also done as a way to make baptism and communion a sacred thing and to keep it sacred. And so the 40 days before the celebration of Easter became the season of Lent, and it was a season where those who were going to be baptized would fast and pray, and it just sort of became one of the things that the church did. And Catholic Church still does this type of baptism thing, except in extreme circumstances. If you join a Catholic Church, you have to go to discipleship classes for about a year before you can be baptized on Easter Sunday. We, as Methodists, come from the Anglicans, which, if you know your history, you know Anglicanism is Catholicism without the Pope, because Henry VIII got mad at the Pope and decided he'd have his own church. And Methodists came out of Anglicanism, and so we still have a lot of Anglican things about us, and we still have a lot of things about us that are very similar to Catholicism, and that includes the season of Lent. One of the charities that I try and support is a home for boys. It's Father Flanagan's Home for Boys. You may have heard of it. And they send their donors things for different periods of the year, Christmas and Easter and all. And they actually sent me a little booklet for the Lenten season. And each day it has some scripture for you to meditate over and then sort of a spiritual discipline that you can do for each day of Lent. And so I read my devotional there today, and they said what you should do for today, because of the scripture of Jesus's, is do something for someone, but do it anonymously. And this ties in with what Jesus is saying in the Gospel of Matthew. A lot of people will take this passage and they'll say that this means you shouldn't pray in public. This means that you shouldn't draw attention to charitable works and those types of things. And really and truly, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is taking specific people who do specific things and saying, don't be like them. If you notice what he says, the two types of people that he's dealing with, both are the religious leaders, the Pharisees and such. But one group, when they give money or anything, they make sure everybody knows it, right? I think I've told you, most of you, the story of the Free Methodist Church. You've seen Free Methodist churches. The Free Methodists were called Free Methodists because there was a period of time where, before there was United Methodists, the Methodists said, we need to figure out how to raise a little extra money. And they got this great idea. What we'll do is we'll rent out seats. And the good seats cost more, and the bad seats cost less, and then the seats nobody wants, those are free for the poor people, right? And this actually caused a little bit of a division, because the people who eventually became Free Methodists, they said, wait a minute, you can't sell seats in the house of God. All are equal in God's house. You can't do that. That's ridiculous. And so they became the Free Methodists because you didn't have to pay to go to church. That was their idea. But when they did this, you can imagine the wealthy people had prominent places and everybody saw them and it was, look at me, look, I'm wealthy. Look at all the money that I gave to the church. That's exactly what Jesus is saying don't do. Don't make a big deal out of giving whatever you give. Because if you do, you're giving for the wrong reason. You're giving because you want people to be impressed by you. It's different if you say, listen, I'm going to give $1 million. Let's just say that's what Wanda gives a year here at the church, is $1 million. Say, I'm going to give $1 million. And if you're doing that to prompt other people to give, God doesn't have a problem with that. But if you're like, hey, everybody, I gave $1 million because, you know, I have a lot of money and I like to give lots of money. And it was $1 million in case you didn't hear me the first time that I put $1 million in the offering plate. You know, that's what Jesus is talking about. You're not worried about what God sees. You're worried about what other people see. And then Jesus talks about people who pray. Jesus doesn't mean people who pray at a meal, you know, before a meal at Applebee's. Jesus doesn't care if you do that. Jesus doesn't mean if you pray, like for instance, they start each session of Congress with a prayer, right? Jesus doesn't care if that's what you're doing. You're asking a prayer. We invoke worship with prayer. We tend to open worship with prayer. Jesus doesn't care if we do that. He's not condemning that. What Jesus is condemning is using prayer essentially as a weapon. Look at how wonderful I am. Look at how horrible you are. I pray. It's all about why you do it. And that's what the Lenten season reminds us of. We don't fast from something during Lent because we want to impress people. We do it to draw nearer to God. Notice what Jesus says when you fast. Don't look like you're fasting. Anybody ever known somebody that has to make sure that you know all their ailments and suffering. You know somebody, right? It's not somebody who's like, oh man, boy, my leg sure does hurt today, or my arm is killing me. You know, it's not that. It's somebody, well, went to the doctor today. He said that there's nothing wrong with me, but I know there's something wrong with me. That doctor's crazy. And you should really feel bad for me. Or my favorite from, if those of you who remember Sanford and Son, every time somebody needed Fred's help, all of a sudden his arthritis flared up, you know? You remember how Fred Sanford's arthritis flared up? That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, don't do that. Don't sacrifice so that other people will see you and think you're wonderful. Instead, what's Jesus saying? Take a bath. Put some clothes on. Don't eat anything if you're fasting, you know, with food, because that would be a bad idea. But get something to drink. Go out. Enjoy the day. If somebody says, hey, you know, maybe it's the Lenten time. Hey, are you fasting for Lent? Then you can say, sure, yeah, I am. But don't be like, hey, everybody, I'm fasting for Lent. Look at how sacrificial I am. Because Christianity is supposed to be joyful. It's not always happy, but it's joyful. We're thankful for what Christ has done for us. We're thankful for the death and resurrection. We're thankful for the incarnation. And so we fast and we pray and we do charitable works, not because we have to, not to get people to like us, not to get God's favor. We do it because it's a joy to worship God and to love Him and to love His creation. And Jesus says, if you're not doing it for those reasons, it's just better if you just don't do it. So, brothers and sisters, as we start Lenten discipline on this Ash Wednesday, I want to encourage you, whatever you decide to do for the Lenten season, if you decide to do nothing, whatever it is, do it joyfully in honor of God, because you love Him. That's all that matters, is that you love God, and by extension, you love your neighbor and yourself. Let us have a moment of silent reflection before we do our thanksgiving over the ashes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to not see this Lenten season as a time of loss, but as a time of preparation. Just as we might see studying not as a time of lost time, but a time of preparation for a test. Just as we might see travel not as a waste of time, but as a way to reach a destination that we desire. Lord, as we reflect on what Ash Wednesday means, that we are of ash, that we are of dust, and we will return to dust. Help us to remember, Lord, this is not meant to be something disheartening. It's simply meant to humble us that though we are dust, you breathe life into dust and form it with your hands and call it beloved and blessed. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray these things. Amen. At this time, let us have a moment of confession and pardon. And I think, do we have a slide for that, Richard? There it is. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when persons who had committed serious sins and had separated themselves from the community of faith were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. To make a right beginning of repentance, and as a mark of our mortal nature, let us now go before our Creator and Redeemer in prayer. This time, if you would like to take a moment to confess and repent of any sins that you may have committed, you're welcome to do so. If you would like to receive the imposition of the ashes, you may come forward at this time. I'll just do everybody one at a time. As usual, I have gloves and a mask, and we'll just do it here in the center. And if you want to, you can use these paper towels to wipe it off immediately. If you want to leave it as a reminder to meditate for a little bit, you can. Just please, please, please do not use water or soap to get it off. Just a dry rag, because water and soap will make the ash caustic and burn your head. So I don't want anybody to do that. They got rid of mortification many, many centuries ago. It's no longer a part of church. It never should have been. But please just wipe whenever you take it off. But if you would like to come forward. Richard reminded me that I forgot to invite you to observe the Lenten discipline, and so we're going to do that at this time. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Now may the almighty and merciful God, who desires not the death of a sinner, but that we turn from wickedness and live, accept your repentance, forgive your sins, and restore you by the Holy Spirit to newness of life. Amen. Now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our final hymn is going to be Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Number 382, if you happen to be at home with the hymnal. And first and last on this one as well, Clayton? Okay. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction, and after the benediction, if you will leave in silent reflection. Now may the grace of God, the peace of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God be with you today, tomorrow, and for all eternity. And may you extend all of those gifts of God to yourselves and to your neighbors. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace.